John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. In the beginning was the Word. Now, Jesus is the Word. Jesus was his earthly name, his human name. He was God the Word. You have that in 1 John chapter 5, I believe it's verse 7. It says, there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. The reason Jesus is not mentioned, because Jesus was the name given to him at his birth, the name of his humanity. He was God the Word. And John points out that God the Word was in the beginning. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit, it said, hovered over the face of the waters. What's the Holy Spirit waiting on? He's waiting for the Word to be spoken. And when the Word was spoken, creation began. Now, if you go down to verse 14 of this chapter, the Word was made flesh, or came into being as flesh. Now, we are spirit beings living in a human body. He was a spirit being. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are spirit beings. They did not have, do not have physical bodies. Jesus was given a physical body when he came to earth. But before then, he was God the Word. And when the Word was spoken, then the work of God was being done. It's still that way today, you know. Sometimes God's not doing anything because we ain't said anything. You know how that works?
Yeah.
You have to believe what you hear. You hear and you believe what you hear, and you hear it and believe it with your heart, with your inward man, not with your mind. You know, your mind may be bigger than mine, but you can't put so much in it. Have you noticed that? But the Spirit, and the Spirit of the living God, brings wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's a difference in those three words. Knowledge is accumulation of facts and data. Understanding is being able to explain the facts and data. And wisdom is being able to operate according to the facts and data, be able to do what you've just said should be done. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings to us as he lives within our spirit. The day you're born again, he comes to live in your spirit. Now it says the Word was made flesh and we beheld his glory. He was the, you see, it says he was the only begotten. Well, after his resurrection, it says he was the first begotten, or the firstborn from the dead. That's because you and I and all creation can come by faith. Faith is what you believe and say. It's what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. And then any action that would coordinate with what you have said is absolutely appropriate, including celebration and praise, thanksgiving. Now, the Word was made flesh. Now, look at Philippians chapter 2. And let me show you. This is a difficult passage. I will explain it to you. Sometimes the King James is very elderly. Have you noticed that? It reads like, huh, what? Suzanne, who couldn't be here today, writes books. She wrote fiction for many years. And when she writes a book about the North, she has to make her contacts there to make sure she uses the vocabulary that they use so that the book will sound like a North. See, so we have to learn the Holy Ghost language. And you have the Holy Ghost on the inside to explain to you exactly what he said. She wrote a book that had an Irish base, and she had to find somebody to explain to her the vocabulary so that the book had authenticity. Now look, verse 5 of chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what you're going to do by the Spirit. You're not going to have the mind of Christ without the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who explains, who brings knowledge and understanding. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal. Now, being in the form of God, the translation say being like God in every way, being truly God. He was God. He didn't give up his stand as God. He's going to be Son of Man and Son of God. He always was God, and now he's going to take on human flesh and be the Son of Man. It says he was being in the form of God, being exactly thought it not robbery to be equal with God, or did not cling to his prerogatives as God. Surrendered himself fully. He surrendered himself in human flesh to be God in human flesh in order to do the work of the cross, in order to rescue and redeem mankind. And then it says he made himself of no reputation. Now that's as blind to us as as walking in the dark, I think. But when you have a reputation for something you've done, something you've accomplished, something you're noted for. And he gave up the script, the translator said he gave up his power and glory. He's going to be as man. He's going to walk as man. He's going to be God in human flesh. And so the miracles that he did were because the Holy Spirit came upon him when he was baptized. He came without that power. He relinquished that power. You know, he wouldn't say, "The works that I do, shall you do also," if he came as God and was doing those works as God. You can forget it. We're left out. But because we can work by the Spirit as he worked by the Spirit, it says he did the works of God and spoke the word of God and completed the will of God. And he did all that by the Spirit. And that's what's very important. And that's what this means. He made himself of no reputation. He gave up his mighty power and glory, is what some translators say. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man. Now, the word likeness and the word fashion both have to do with external appearance. He was God in the Spirit. He was Son of God. Now he's Son of Man, and he's going to give up the Holy Spirit and the glory and the honor in order to walk in my shoes and rescue me and you. And so it says he was found in fashion as a man. It simply is the same thing. John 1:14 says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He came in human flesh. We looked it up one time, how many times it called him the Son of Man. Let me see if it's written on top of the... I write in my Bible. Do you write in yours?
Yes.
I write in it because then I don't have to strain my brain to remember. He called himself the Son of Man 79 times. That's reference to his humanity. Now, what is he going to do? Because he's given up his power and his glory. He's given up his reputation in order to walk as man. So how is he going to do all those miracles? Now, I know you've heard, everybody's heard, been to church, that he was trying to prove he was God. But if you read through all the miracles, it says it had to do with his compassion, his real heart for people, his mercy that endured forever. Now, if you look in somewhere, look at Mark 5. I think that's where I want to go. Luke 3. How about that? Luke 3 is where he's baptized. I just want you to see that the Holy Spirit came upon him. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have had to come upon him if the Holy Spirit was already there. You got that right. So he gave up his mighty power and glory, and so the Holy Spirit had to come upon him in order for him to do the miracles and do the work of God, in order for him to hear from God and follow God. Luke 3 said John baptized him. John was reluctant. He didn't think, "You want me to baptize you?" And it says, the Holy Spirit descended, verse 22, in bodily shape like a dove, and a voice from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." You notice God was well pleased. He hadn't done anything yet. Sometimes the biggest ministry you have is, we call that at the house, the ministry is show up. What did you do? I was there. I came. I showed up. But he showed up with the commitment to follow the will of God, to follow the word of God, to receive the power of the Spirit of God. And after he received the Spirit of God, he was tempted and by the devil went into the wilderness. And it says in 4:1, he was full of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost that came upon him at baptism, he came without the mighty power and glory. That's made himself of no reputation. And then the Holy Ghost came upon him so he could do the work of God, so he could fulfill the commission of God, so he could go to the cross as God's Son. And it says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And after the temptation in verse 14, he said, he returned, that's from the wilderness, in the power of the Spirit. I always thought that'd be wonderful, to be full of the Holy Ghost and have some great trauma and still be full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you think that'd be a big deal? That'd be great. I said, wow, that didn't affect her at all. I said, no, I'm just leaning on the Holy Ghost. That's how it didn't affect me. Now here is, we read this verse. He came to his hometown of Nazareth. You will notice that he was not well received there. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? He said, verse 18, he took the book, which is this verse is from the book of Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. Where did the anointing come from? Why did it have to come? It had to come because he gave up his mighty power and glory. So he had to be anointed in order to do the work of God, in order to fulfill the commission of God. And he said, the Spirit of God is upon me. When did it come upon him? When he was baptized in the River Jordan. And he said, he anointed me. Now, the word anointed sometimes means to smear or to cover. He anointed me, and it says to preach. He sent me to heal. He sent me to deliver the captives and recover sight to the blind. All of those have natural and supernatural. They have spiritual and physical meanings. recovering of sight could mean you suddenly understand what God is saying. It also could mean you had a visionary problem and your hands were laid upon you, or something came to you and you received your sight. All of those are double in nature, spiritual and physical. Now, so the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. That means it wasn't upon him till it came upon him. Yeah. Y'all getting all this, right? Yeah. Because when we get to the end, about 20 after, I'm going to show you something. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He wasn't there. He had to come there. You understand that. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look at Acts 10. This is the most phenomenal thing. And I'm going to read you from the King James and from the Phillips. Do y'all know the Phillips translation? Phillips is an old, old translation. It was originally paperback for $12. Now, I think we can still get it, but it isn't $12 anymore. You should know. My mama had one for $12 back in the 50s, and so I'm sure it's pricey. But I like the Phillips, and it's a little different than the others. He wrote the Phillips for his friends and neighbors to understand the Scripture, and it caught fire. And when it caught fire, he wrote it in the colloquialism, the vocabulary of his day. And then when it caught fire, he felt led, and it's been revised, to go back and take out these strange expressions that his neighbors and friends would have understood, that the rest of the world wouldn't have understood. And every now and then you read in the New Phillips, you'll read a strange expression that got overlooked, and you'll think, what? It's a great translation. Mother really liked it. Now in Acts chapter 10, here's what you hear. Many ministers will say, the message he gave, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me, he told that same thing everywhere he went. That was his first message everywhere. I've heard that many times. And I always say, how do we know that? How can we prove that? See, if we can't prove it by the Scripture, we're not interested. Because if you receive something, can't prove by the Scripture, next thing you know, you receive something else, can't be proved by the Scripture, and you'll be led astray. And I never could figure that out, why they kept saying that. That he preached, that was his first message everywhere. He went everywhere he went. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Now he said, in Nazareth, they were full of wrath. In his hometown, when he gave that message that made them really mad, and they went, remember, to push him off the hill. Mm-hmm. And he walked through. Now, do you know why he walked through, why they couldn't push him off the hill? Because he had not sinned. He was perfect in every way. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay, here's your proof that he preached that sermon everywhere. I didn't find it. Some minister read it and used it to explain that, and I went, oh my goodness, it's there all the time. I've got the Phillips, so I'm going to read you from the Phillips. The King James in verse 36 says, the word which God sent, okay, he's talking about the word which God sent to Israel. You got that? Preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he's Lord of all. The word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So he's talking about something that was preached in all of Judea and all of Galilee. You got that part? He's talking about something that was continually preached. And then it says, the word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus from Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. That's a restatement of Luke 4. That's the sermon. And it says he preached that through all Galilee and all Judea. Mm-hmm. Is that amazing? Yeah. So everybody knew he was anointed. If they were listening at all, they knew he was anointed. He preached it everywhere he went. Now here is my page came off the computer today from the Phillips. You must know the story of Jesus of Nazareth. Why, it was spread throughout the whole of Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism John proclaimed. You must have heard it. How God anointed him with the power of the Spirit. And how he went about doing good and healing all who suffered under the devil's power because God was with him. Confirming exactly what this says in a strange King James Passion. That he preached that everywhere. He said, you must have heard that, how God anointed him. You must have heard that, how he was anointed. You must have heard that, how he was anointed. Now, look at Matthew 14. Here's what happened when the message got out. When they began to hear the message. Matthew 14, verse 34. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, that's verse 5. What knowledge did they have? When the men of that place had knowledge, what knowledge did they have? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. That's what they knew. That's what he preached everywhere he went. That was his sermon. And it said all of Galilee and Judea knew that and had heard that. how God anointed. Now, anointing is the Spirit of the Lord's upon me has anointed me. Anointing is the power of the Spirit. It's the manifestation of the work and the power of the Holy Ghost into someone's life. When men of the place had knowledge of him, they sent him all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. What caused them? These are your first ambulance people by. Did you know that? Can y'all interpret King James? This is your ambulance going out to gather the people that are sick. And it says, when they had knowledge, well, what knowledge did they have? Faith comes by hearing, or faith comes by knowledge. What knowledge did they have? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Where was that preached? In all Judea and all Galilee. And Philip says, you must have heard that. Yeah. Well, if they hadn't heard it, they wouldn't have gathered. And here's what they expect in verse 36. Besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's what they knew. That's what they'd heard, that he was anointed. And we found out last week when we studied the anointing. The anointing is transmitted. It can be stored, and it can be transmitted. It can be tangible. It can be touched or felt. And so they knew if they only touched him, they were expecting the power that was in him to be transmitted and come into them. And that's why they gathered all these people together. You see that? And he said, you must have heard that. Well, I never had heard that. I was raised in church since church nurses. You ever heard that in your church? I didn't hear that in my church. We always thought he's proven he was God. And it does prove he was God. However, that's not the basis of it, because he gave up his mighty power and glory, and then the Holy Ghost came upon him. And the anointing is the Holy Ghost coming upon you. The anointing is what the Holy Ghost does. It also can be referred to as the power. The word power is dunamis. It's where we get our word dynamite. That just gives us a concept of what kind of power came. The dynamite power of the Holy Ghost came upon him. And so they went to touch the hem of his garments. Many as touched. Did they all get healed? No. Only those who touched him. Did everybody that touched him get healed? No. Only those who touched him in faith. You see that? Only those who touched him in faith, as many as touched him, were perfectly healed. Now, you know, turn to Luke 5. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I may touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be whole, indicating that when she touched him, she knew she'd be healed by that touch. She touched him in faith. She obviously heard that he was anointed. Since she had knowledge of him, she'd heard of him. And she said, see, what you say is a revelation of the knowledge that you have, is a revelation of what you've heard that you believe. If you don't believe in the anointing, you can get in every line from here to China. But if you're getting there to see if it works, it doesn't work for you. When I get in that line, I know it works. I believe it works. Amen. Now, in chapter 5, verse 15. Talking about Jesus, so much the more there went a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of them. They came to hear and to be healed. They came to hear. See, and the first step in receiving the anointing or any other thing from God is to hear, is to know what God said and to know how you can cooperate with what God said. And the first thing God said is for you to say what I said. He said, if you've got a mountain, you speak to it. If I speak to a mountain, I've not got my fingers crossed. That's Mark 11:22, 23, I think. I've not got my fingers crossed hoping this works, because it won't work. You've got to know the anointing is coming into you. It's transferred into you, not from the pastor or the minister, but it comes from God through him into you. And you've got to know that. You've got to believe that. And you've got to say that. What you believe, you say. You got born again by believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. Okay, he said, there went a fame abroad of him. Well, what do you think was going abroad? What were they hearing? Well, this man's anointed. The power of God's on him. And when you touch him, you'll be healed. That's what they'd all heard. That's why they all came. But they came to hear. They just didn't come to be healed. They came to hear. And that's very important. We come to hear. I remember years ago, Luke 6, we went to a big meeting out of state, and we'd been there all afternoon. We're tired. We had the children with us. They were not happy campers. And we went downtown for lunch, take a little break, took a little walk, and it started pouring down rain. We remember that. And we rushed back to the convention center in the rain, and all the seats were taken. The afternoon people obviously didn't go to supper like we did. And we were stuck in the very top row, and the air conditioner blew down your collar, and we were wet because we had run through the rain. And all we were waiting for was just crank up the prayer line. We weren't listening. We weren't really listening. We weren't really hearing. Just crank up the prayer line. Let's get in that prayer line. Let's get our healing. Let's go home. And guess what happened? Nothing. If you don't believe and you don't say and you're not ready to receive, you ain't getting nothing. Do y'all say ain't? I'm from Auburndale. Yeah. You ain't getting nothing. We drive by Mom and Daddy's house. They were there over 50, 60 years. Once or twice since they've been gone. Mama died in 08 and Daddy died in 10. We drive by just to see if the old house is still standing. And from Hurricane Donna in the 50s all the way through to the day, the house stands. And if you're full of God and you know what He said and you're saying what He said and you're celebrating and expecting the Word of God to work mightily in you and the power of God to come into you through what you said, you're still going to be standing.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody's going to be saying, I thought she's really sick. Because you heard, you believed, you said, and you celebrated before you felt anything. This is not a feeling. This is a declaration of God. And everybody had heard that, and that's why they came. Now in chapter 6, here's a repeat. They came down and stood in the plain, the company of His disciples. And you'll see all those groups of people. And it says, which came to hear Him and to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear and to be healed. Not just to be healed. They came to hear and to be healed. They came to know what God has said, what God is doing through His servant. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. Now, it is true you can cast out a devil. It is also true they will run from the power of God. You don't have to cast them all out. You have to know, kind of have to know what you're doing. I know one gentleman that was noted for helping people who had tangled with demonic spirits. And he was in an institution where they'd call from him, and he was ministering this man, and the man kept saying, I have to have water. I have to have water. I have to have water. And the lady there who was part of the institution said, oh, I'll just run and get him some water. And the man ministering said, he's ministered here. He's gone to be in heaven now. He ministered here in the far past. He said, oh, no, we're not getting him any water. Next thing you know, he'll want a hamburger. I know we'll forget it. But when the anointing goes into those people, the devil leaves.
Amen.
And if he doesn't leave, you can cast him out. Sometimes it's cast out the spirit with his word. Cast him out with his word. He spoke. And sometimes it just says he was healed. You can go either way. And you kind of have to know what you're doing. One lady that thought she was in trouble with demonic spirits, and maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, I don't know, but the minister that was here that had such knowledge in that realm said, oh, no, you don't have any problem at all with demonic spirits. And later, medical science found out what's wrong with her, and she had no problem at all with demonic spirits. See, don't make assumptions. She had assumed. Now, look, great multitude out of Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon came to hear and to be healed. Are you hearing? Are you listening? You have to be listening. You have to understand the anointing in some measure. You have to know it doesn't come from the pastor or the ministry. It comes from God through Him. And you have to go receiving from heaven. And it says, they that were vexed with unclean spirit, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Him. Now what Acts 10 say? The whole multitude sought to touch Him. Acts 10 says, haven't you heard that He was anointed? Didn't you hear that? He preached that in all of Galilee and Judea. Didn't you hear that? See, they had heard that. And they came to hear more about it. And then they're going to reach out. And the word virtue is the word power. It has to do with the anointing. Came out of Him and healed them all. Everybody that touched Him in faith. Everybody that touched Him in faith was those people that had heard what He said. You know, I don't really like to read. So I have to talk myself into it. Well, I like to hear, though. I'm thinking, And so I have talked myself into reading. Because you can't step up to the line where God is ministering in ignorance. You will not receive. And the more you know, the happier you're going to be with the results. That's true. Now, look at Mark 6. This is the same incident we read in Luke, where Jesus was in his hometown. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, has anointed me." This is that same thing. This is Mark's version of that same thing. And in verse 1 it says, "He went out from thence and came into his own country." That would be Nazareth, where he said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me." And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "From whence hath this man these things?" In other words, how in the world does he know that? Who does he think he is? That was kind of their attitude. They recognized that mighty works were done, but they couldn't believe it. And they said, verse 3, "Isn't this son of Mary, the carpenter, the brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were what?
Offended.
They were offended. That means they disapproved of him. Now the Luke's account says they were filled with wrath. And Jesus said, "A prophet," verse 4, "without honor in his own country." Now look at verse 5. Here's where I headed. "He could there do no mighty works." Was he capable of mighty works? Yes. Could he lay hands on the blind? Could he cleanse the leper? Why couldn't he do it here? He said he couldn't do it. It doesn't say he wouldn't. It doesn't say he wasn't willing to do it. It says he couldn't do it. One gentleman that wanted to know what the Spanish version of this, the Spanish text would say about couldn't. And in the Spanish version, I understand, I don't speak Spanish nor have a Spanish version. It says he tried to, but he couldn't.
Let me see what it says.
Why not? Why not?
Unbelief.
He didn't believe anything.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't believe it. It won't work without faith. Said he couldn't do any mighty work, save he laid his hand on a few sick folk and healed them. He marveled because of their what?
Unbelief.
They just flat didn't believe anything, and they tried to run him out of town, push him off the hill. and he just couldn't. See, we kind of stretch the word and say, everybody can be healed. Is that true? Not really. Everybody who believes can be healed. Everybody who hears and believes can be healed. Now that's why if two or three gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of you. Two or three people can sometimes help you. If you're only 50% faith or 35% faith, and I can come and add my faith of 40 years, I can help you. We can help one another. Now, when they're praying, this is real important. When they're praying in the sanctuary and laying hands on people, if you're just watching, you're making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to pull in with them. You're supposed to put your faith into that situation. Say, "I'm believing for this one. I'm believing for that one. I'm believing for that one." And the attitude of the congregation increases the anointing that the minister is working with.
Yes.
And if I'm just sitting there and watching, everybody's
yes.
done that myself. I'm just watching. This is how I watch. We went to hear Marilyn Hickey years ago. She walked through the Bible. Fascinating mind. Fascinating. What they did was she taught some in person, and then they'd show some in video, and then they'd bring her back to say in person. But at the end, she said, "I'm going to lay hands on everybody in the auditorium." I was flabbergasted. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and I went... I thought, we will be here till Jesus comes. That's what I thought. We will be here. And I'm going to tell you, she orchestrated that. She laid hands on everybody there in 10 to 15 minutes. It's the most phenomenal thing I've ever seen. But everybody was well-trained. Everybody knew their part. See, and your part is to believe that you receive. And your part is to believe that they're receiving. Said, "I'm with them. I believe they're receiving. I believe God is working in John and Donna and Melinda and whoever." He couldn't do it. There wasn't any unbelief. What did he do? He went about all the villages teaching. Why did he go around the villages teaching? Because where does faith come from? From hearing. If they hear, maybe next time he's there, he'll have more to work with. He'll have faith to work with. See, so he went around the villages teaching. Is that the most phenomenal thing?
Yeah.
Now, look at... John 4. This is labeled as, in verse 54, the second miracle Jesus did. The second miracle. This is the second miracle. Now, this is the man from Cana of Galilee who went to Capernaum because he heard Jesus was there. That's verse 46. Capernaum and Cana are 16, almost 17 miles apart. And you understand he didn't take a taxi. He walked. Now, he was a ruler. He might have had a donkey. We don't know. He heard Jesus come out of Galilee, and he went and besought him he would come down and heal his son. He wanted him to come to his house to heal his son. It's very likely he wanted him to come to speak and to lay hands on his son, but he wanted him at his house. And Jesus, in verse 48, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What is Jesus doing? He's trying to get him over in the faith side. Yeah. I mean, Jesus could be there in person, nothing happened. The nobleman said, come down ere my child. He would not be distracted. I love that. Then said, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word. Do you see there's no anointing here? He didn't lay hands on him. He wasn't in the vicinity. He was 17 miles from where he was. And he said, go your way, your son lives. And the man believed the word. And when he was going down, he met the group from his house had come to tell him, this verse 52, that your son, and here's what I want you to see, verse 52, they inquired of him the hour when he began to amend. Now that's really important to you, because people go by the flesh, and if they don't feel something, and if they're not instantly, they think they didn't receive anything. This boy began to amend. He began to amend, and he said, when did he begin to amend? He said, well, it was the seventh hour, and he said, that's the very hour Jesus spoke to me. See, when Jesus spoke over here, the boy was healed 17 miles over here, and there wasn't any transfer of the anointing. You can be healed by faith in the word or by faith in the anointing. You can go in either direction. And because we're human and we like a human body likes of touch or a feeling, I think that's why God indulged us. He said, the father knew that was the same hour that that Jesus said his son lives. And he said, this is the second miracle that Jesus did. Now, in the nine manifestations of the Holy Ghost, which we call the gifts of the Spirit, but we should really call them the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, is the gifts of healing. This is not a gift of healing. This is faith in the Word. Now let me show you the gift of healing so you'll know the difference. Look at John 5. We can be healed by the gift of healing, which requires no faith on your part. It's something God does that God decided to do, and that's what he does. Now, a certain man was there, had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time to struggle. Jesus saw him lie, knew he'd been there a long time in that case, and he said, will you be made whole? And the impotent man, that means the man who was weak and sick and powerless, said, I've got no man to help me, no man to put. See, he's dependent upon some man to come. Every now and then the pool was disturbed. We have that in the first verses. The pool was disturbed, and the first one in the pool when the waters were troubled was healed. And he's depending on the pool and the waters and somebody to help him. He's depending upon man. Somebody doesn't help me. He said, I don't have anybody to help me. I don't have anybody to help me. And Jesus said, well, rise and walk. Now, let me ask you a dumb question. Do you see any faith there? You see the anointing there? What do you see? A gift. You see the gift of healing. So why does God do that? You'll have to ask him when you see him. You know he is in charge. Just pointing that out to you. Okay. He said, and so he rose up and he walked. And it was the Sabbath and the Jews were offended. You can read this whole story. They were offended. And so they asked him, verse 13, who healed you? And he that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't have a clue who told him to rise and walk. There isn't any faith in this entire story. This is not healing by faith in the word. It's not healing by faith in the anointing. It's simply God gave a gift, and he does that. I told you probably about the couple that were alcoholics, and he worked with some Christians, and they kept begging him to go with them to a meeting. He didn't know it was a businessman, Christian businessman luncheon. And so finally he consented. He thought they'd go away and leave me alone. So they prayed for him at that meeting, and he only consented to prayer. He didn't really believe in prayer. There's no faith in that whole story. And 2 weeks later, his wife asked him why he'd stopped drinking. Oh, he said, I'm not drinking. I wasn't not drinking. And so he called, and they came and laid hands on her. And over time, see, that was just a gift to them. Yeah. God gives gifts. You sit around waiting on a gift, you have wasted your time. You're supposed to sit around adding to your faith, believing you receive when you pray, or believing you receive when hands are laid on you, or believing the word. You can believe the word, you can believe in the anointing, but you've got to believe in order to receive. You've got to hear and believe in order to receive. This man, he said, I can't be healed. I've got nobody to help me. And they said, well, who was it told you to get up? And he said, well, I don't know. And so he ran into Jesus, and Jesus told him, sin no more. Now, if you do something ugly and mean and unkind, contrary to the law of love, and cross up the scripture, you open the door for sickness. You opened the door. And this man had obviously opened the door. Now, I'm not looking for in my life for an open door. I intend to walk in the scripture. I'm not perfect, but I intend to walk in the scripture. And if I feel like I should repent of something, I'm going to do that. But I'm not witch hunting. This man needed repentance in order to receive. In order to stay healed, let's put it that way. He had received his healing, but he needed repentance in order to stay healed. You see that? I always say, if you go from man to man, woman to woman, you're going to open the door for something you didn't want. That's my example. That's the kind way I'm putting it. Okay, this is a gift. Now, when we were looking at John 4, it says this was second miracle. It wasn't a gift of healing. It was a miracle healing. That means the condition of his body, he needed more than a light touch. He needed something in his body, some miracle in his body that happened when Jesus spoke and the man believed what he said. He said, go home, your son's well. He don't know that. He can't see that. He's 17 miles from home. He didn't know anything. He said, okay. He said he believed. So you can believe just a spoken word. Now you have that in Matthew 8, I believe, where it's called great faith, just to believe the word. Just believe God said, I'm healed, so I'm healed. I don't have any problem with that. But if I needed a touch in addition to that, I'd go get it. Mm-hmm. You understand that? Well, this is the man from the centurion from Capernaum in verse 5. And he said, Lord, my servant lies sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Verse 6. That word servant is the word for a child. I think it was probably, I don't know this, probably some little kid born in his household that had become a part of his family and a part of his love for his servants. And he said, my servant's sick, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, well, I'll come and heal him. And he said, no, no, no. Don't come to my house. I don't want you at my house. You just speak the word. You just say so and he'll be healed. There's no anointing there. You don't have to have an anointing. You can just believe the word. And Jesus said, I have not seen so great faith. Indicating that just say so is a step above receiving the anointing and saying so. And you can go either way. You can go both ways. And I believe, irregardless of whether you think you need somebody to lay hands on you or to anoint you with oil, you still have to say so. See what we've done. We get in a line, we expect the minister, or we go after whatever, or we call the prayer line. Some people have a prayer line. And we're expecting them to do this for us. No, they can't. They're going to do it with you. They're going to do it with you. They're going to add what they know to what you know and put you over the line for healing. You see that, don't you? In other words, I have an active part to play. Now, there are a lot of things I can't do, I don't do, that Wayne does for me. And what happens is you get lazy. And you think, Wayne would probably do this if a lady told me that her husband would probably do it, but she was reluctant to ask him because she'd ask him some other things. She didn't want to ask too many things, which is real wisdom on her part, I thought. But she didn't know what to do. And she had become seed dependent. on Him. And you can become dependent on the people at your church or the people you know to do this for you. And they're going to work with you, not for you. Now, their part, one of their wonderful parts is prayer, to pray for you. You know your 3 a.m. person I talk about all the time? Do you have a 3 a.m. person? You have somebody? I just elbow Wayne and say, help! I don't have to elbow. We've been married over, 57, 58 years? And if I roll over the wrong way, he'll say, are you all right? And I'm quick to say, I think I need prayer. And he's praying with me. I have a part to play. I have to put my faith out there. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 5, this is the woman with the issue. She received the anointing. You do not have to have an anointing. You can believe and trust the word. The word will heal you. The word is anointed. The word of God is anointed. It says it was inspired by God. That means it was the very breath of God. The word of God, Jesus was the word of God, and the word that's written is the very breath of God, and you can be healed simply by believing what was written and saying what was written and praising God, even in the middle of your greatest pain, that it's working. It's working. It's working. The mighty power is working. Now, in chapter 5, this is the best example we have of receiving the anointing. And it said, verse 20, she'd heard of Jesus. She came in the presence and touched his garment. That tells you exactly what she had heard. She'd heard everybody touched him was being healed. She had heard he was anointed. You remember Acts 10? It says, this message was preached. You must know the story. Why, it spread through the whole of Judea and Galilee since the baptism of John. You must have heard how God anointed Jesus. That's what she knew. That's what she figured out. He's anointed. Said she'd heard that. And so she said, I'll go touch him. She had heard that works. It's working all over the county. And everybody there knew that. That's how important it is. And so she touched him, and we have the characteristics of the anointing. One, it can be stored up. Two, it can be measured. It comes in quantities. Elisha asked Elijah, Elijah six, and go to heaven. And Elijah said to Elisha, what is it I can do for you? What do you want me to do? And he said, I want a double portion of what you've got. So it can be measured. It can be more or less. It can be more or less through the same pastor and the same. And what is your part? You're saying, I'm agreeing with this one. I'm agreeing with this one. God is working. Thank you, God, for pouring out the anointing in this service. Don't sit and watch. Amen. Sit and be active. Amen. Be active. Now, it said she touched him and her blood dried up. She felt in her body. He felt it leave his body. She felt it enter her body. That means it's tangible, somewhat like electricity. Compared to electricity. Now, I said all that. That's my introduction. So that you'll see this. Look at Acts 19. One reason it hasn't worked too well is we weren't working it right. That's just the truth. Now, this is Paul, verse 11, chapter 19. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons. Those are basically words for what he wore when he worked. Work, handkerchiefs and aprons. From his body were brought handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them. The evil spirits weren't cast out. They left. You see that? The evil spirit went out. They left. Now it says, the diseases departed. Do you see that? The diseases departed. The diseases departed. The diseases departed. The diseases departed. Do you know what Mark 16 says? You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Why can they recover? Because the diseases have departed. When the disease has departed, one lady, she had eaten only baby food for a long time. She went to a meeting and was healed at that meeting. And, of course, she's quite thin and she doesn't eat at all, but she went across the street. The disease had departed, and she so quickly received, see, you, disease departs and then you recover. See, and people that don't know the difference are think they didn't receive anything because they haven't recovered. Okay, let me tell you, Hurricane Milton has departed, and now we're recovering. Do you get that? The disease has departed. The anointing caused the disease. It has departed, and now we're going to recover. Whether the recovery took. She went across the street and ate two Mexican dinners. Instantly, she recovered. I love that. I think that was a great idea. Great idea. Instant recovery. But it's not always that way. I mean, if it has damaged your physical organs, over time, they'll recover. Because the disease is gone, you can recover. Do you get the difference in the scripture? The disease departed. The disease is gone. It is not there. And now, lay hands on the sick and they shall
recover.
There's another reference. Let me see if I know where it is. And I might not know where it is. That uses a... It says they began to amend. Why did they begin to amend? That's in John chapter 4. Why did they begin to amend? Huh? Because the disease had departed. You see the difference. The disease had departed. They began to amend. Hurricane Milton has departed, and now we can recover. Well, you know, if you've lost 50 pounds, you've been so sick, you've lost 50 pounds. Just think of that a moment. You can give that, you can recover that all by yourself. You don't need any help to recover that. Have another piece of pie. Have another piece of cake. Have that thing that you always wanted that you couldn't eat when you were sick. You can do your own recovery program. You don't always need Holy Ghost recovery. Use your spoon. You see that? That's what I want to tell you. That's what's so very important. It says when they had the handkerchief, see, when the handkerchief had the anointing that was in Paul's life, it carried the anointing because the anointing can be stored. And when they carried that anointing, that handkerchief to somebody, and that person exercised their faith in the anointing that was in the handkerchief or the apron came into that person's body and the disease left. And now we can recover. And when I thought of the hurricane, and I want to boldly say that all of these pipes that are in my way between my house and this church have departed because the problem has departed. The problem has now departed. The water level has now come to normal. I'm just doing all I can to help them finish their project because they're in my way. And I'm going to say the pipes have departed because the water level has come to normal. You got that part?
Yes.
Let me say it one more time. You can hit mash the button. The hurricane has departed. Now we can recover. The disease has departed. Now you can recover. Now you begin to amend. There was a lady took her daughter, I believe it was, to a meeting. They laid hands on her. Her daughter had a very short leg, and there was something wrong with the hip socket, and the leg floated. It floated all the time. And so they had to, you know, tie an anchor. And over time, the doctor suggested that they make that hip stationary. They were going to, you know, cement the hip. Well, that's my, you know, I'm not a medical person. And so they took her to this meeting and nothing happened. And the next morning she got up and she was getting her daughter ready. And that leg went up like this. And she began to weep. She began to weep. She began to say, oh, I wanted you to heal her. I wanted you to heal her. I wanted you to heal her. You didn't heal her. And what has she done to the anointing that put in that child?
Mm-hmm.
She just canceled it.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to her, do you think that minister lied to you? She said, oh, no. Did he say the anointing went in her? She said, why, yes. Oh, it's in her. That means it's working. And that leg went click, 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 boom. It was normal and long as the other one. all of that time, all night long, when she whined and cried, she damaged the effect of the anointing. It wouldn't work because of her unbelief. But see, the minute she got back in belief, it worked.